Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. If you are aware of the placebo effect, you may have heard of its opposite relative, the nocebo effect, where instead of positive thinking leading to an improvement in health, patient fears about drug quality may result in little or no effect from therapy. The nocebo effect is a common concern in the biosimilar space, where patients often doubt whether biosimilars are clinically similar to reference products. A recent study on the nocebo effect in biosimilar use demonstrated that nurses may be best able to boost patient confidence in biosimilars and improve retention rates. The authors noted that because nurses are usually the first point of contact for patients in the healthcare system, they can be effective advocates at facilitating switching and biosimilar acceptance. We sat down with Dr. Juliette Petit, a rheumatologist at Saint-Antoine Hospital at Sorbonne University in Paris, France, and one of the study's co-authors, to discuss some of the major points in her study and what it could mean for the future of biosimilar uptake. So to start us off, can you just discuss the key findings of the study in detail?
Yes, of course. Well, the key finding was that we managed, thanks to this communication strategy, we managed to have a very good retention rate in our switched patients. So all of our patients switched from originator to biosimilar. They all accepted two. And then a few of them, about 10%, had to either switch back to originator or change biological treatment. But when we compared the percentage of patients who had to stop infliximab after switch and the percentage of patients who stopped infliximab in our historical cohorts, it was the same. So it looked like it was not a problem to switch statistically. And we also compared our results to different studies that were published and made in France or in other European countries. And we had better retention rates too. So we believe that the way we informed our patients actually managed to make them maybe more comfortable and stop a little bit of the nocebo effect.
What are some of the reasons patients may lack confidence in biosimilars leading to the nocebo effect?
Well, in France, for example, it's known that there is a very big distrust regarding generic drugs. I know it also happens in other countries. It's hard to know why. Well, many studies actually show that people, and everybody, I think we all know it, we link the price to the quality. When we buy shoes, we think if we pay a lot more, the shoes will be a lot better. And studies have shown that it's the same for drugs. So patients, when they buy medication, are under the, probably subconsciously, the impression that if the medication is has a higher price, it will be better. So that might be one of the reasons. Also, I think patients with chronic rheumatic disease, they usually have suffered a lot at one point in their lives, because those diseases, they are very, very painful. And sometime at the beginning, they are hard to control. And they have, usually patients are very thankful for the drugs they have. So it's harder to change. And there has also been studies showing that many patients are willing to use generic drugs or biosimilars for little pains or for occasional reasons. But when it comes to their long-term medication that they are used to, it's a lot harder to change brands, which I think we can all understand.
In your study, you were able to demonstrate the importance of strong biosimilar education and support for patients, particularly from nurses. Can you explain how that works and how it could be replicated in other clinics?
Yes, of course. So as I said, we try to find the best way to inform our patients and talk with them about the switch. And when we asked a patient about what was their fear, what was their anxiety, and what they wanted to know and who they wanted to know it to discuss with, most of them told us that a very important thing was to know the experience of the department they were treated in. So they didn't want, they wanted to know about the studies, but not only, their main concern was to know what we thought about it. And most of them also said it was very important to have the feeling of the nurses. And I think that's how we constructed our study. So the nurses were the first one to inform the patients. And I think it's because in outpatient clinic, patients, they come every 6 weeks, every 2 months, for years. Some patients, they come, they've been coming for 10 years, and so they know the nurses very well. And they are always the first person they see when they arrive. And so there is a trust, that they build a trust together. And doctors, they change every time. Nurses, they are always the same. And also nurses, they are sometimes more approachable than doctors. Doctors, we run everywhere, and we are always late. There is always someone calling us. And nurses have more time. They are more focused. They usually use words that are easier to understand, and so I think communication is easier with the nurses, and probably patients feel that they can talk about their fear more and they can be heard more. So I think the trust is the most important thing. Of course, it can be replicated. I think we are very lucky because our nurses are amazing. They are very they love their patients and they love their work, so they do it very well. But I think in every clinic, there is this kind of bound between a patient and the nurse. So yes, it can be replicated. I think the most important, there are a few things that we did that were very, very important. It was to include the nurses and patient representative in the discussion we had at the beginning. So the nurses, they knew what we were talking about. They knew, they were informed about biosimilars, what a biosimilar is, what proof there is, why do we believe in the biosimilar. And we all agreed on a consistent and replicable way of informing patients. So every doctor, every nurse, every healthcare practitioner had the same words, used the same words, and had the same answers. Yes, and so having the nurses break the news and tell patients they were going to change, I think it's easier for patients to complain or to feel listened to. And that's the main thing, I think, that were important.
Now, you've alluded to this a little bit earlier, but it's interesting that patient fears of biosimilars may outweigh the attraction of reduced costs and savings. Can you discuss this a little bit further?
The question of individual health against public health. And it's, I think everybody is, nobody is completely selfish and think only their health is important. But when you are sick yourself, it's very hard to put public health in front of individual health. I mean, we can see it with the COVID vaccine, for example. We all know that we all need to get vaccine, otherwise we're never going to end it. But when there is a needle around us, we are always a bit scared that we're going to be the one with the bad, the side effect or something. So it's not that easy to be completely selfless and put public health in front of individual health. That's the first thing. And then there is a specific thing in France, and I think in most European countries, people don't pay for the medication, especially very expensive medication. And so it's hard to realize how expensive a biologic drug is. I don't think, even if you've been told once, maybe it's hard to realize how expensive it is, and sometimes it can be, I think maybe some patients that feel guilty about it, so they try to put it on the side and not think about it. So that might be one of the reasons they don't want to think about the money. And as I said before, in subconsciously, we all think that if it's cheaper, it's worse. I mean, that cheaper is going to be less quality. So I'm not sure talking about the money is always the good solution. Maybe you have to feel what kind of patient and what kind of person you're talking to before you bring up the money saving.
And based on your findings, what are your recommendations for practitioners who seek to understand the nocebo effect and prevent it from happening?
Well, understanding the nocebo effect is quite intuitive. It's very, very basic psychological, I think. And there's a lot of publications. It's very interesting about the psychological passes of nocebo effect. What is important, I think, is to realize that bad expectation can be caused by anything, and it can be words, but it can also be attitude, or it can be the lack of words or the lack of information. And it's very important to adapt, to try to get to know your patient and adapt and let the patient talk, so you can feel what is the specific fear of that patient, and because they're obviously not everybody is interested in the same things or has the same fears. So that would be very important. And yes, I think if you want to avoid nocebo effect, you also have to, as a practitioner, be very informed about what you're prescribing and actually believe in it. So if you prescribe a biosimilar, you have to be sure that you believe, that you know, that you've read at least a bit of the papers, and otherwise the patient is going to feel that you're not completely sure of yourself.
Well, Dr. Petit, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.